Thanks for joining us today. This is obviously a highly emotional story for so many people involved. How did you approach your need to tell this story whilst also taking into account the feelings and grief of Johnny's family?
Well, that was pretty difficult. You know, we never want to forget Johnny. I knew him briefly, and he was a very compassionate, caring man and only wanted the best for Anna. So it's so horrible that Anna wasn't given the help she needed before she committed the crime. And it's a real moral dilemma to know if you should, you know, who has the right to tell a story. But I tried to be as respectful as I could to Johnny in the book, and I hope that comes through. Most people who've read it say it does. And we just have to keep in mind that Anna did a terrible thing, but Johnny became part of our story. And I couldn't really write the story without including him. So.
Absolutely. That did come through in the book for me, certainly. You mentioned there that the systems in place obviously failed Anna several times over, really. Is there anything that could have been done or changed that would help others in the same position, you believe?
Well, I think best thing parents can do is look for trouble in their children early. I wish we would have picked up signs in Anna when she was a child that she had so many problems and probably mental illness, even when she was a little kid. But I do believe that people pick up people on the autism spectrum earlier these days than they used to. And a lot of people believe that now that she's on that. But 25 years ago, when she was a little tiny girl, we hadn't even heard that term. So you know, I hope that's better. But once people get into their adult years, with the system, at least in Victoria, it's very difficult. And I believe in the rest of Australia. I think that we really need to start a conversation about what we do with people who are unwilling or unable to access the mental health system. Because I think it's quite good if you've got the ability to access it. But Anna was at the point where she couldn't even get her scripts filled or do much of anything for herself. She was a danger to herself and others, and we need to think about a place for those sorts of people.
And you mentioned early diagnosis. There also must have been a fear about over-pathologizing a child at the time, because many of the things and the behaviours could potentially have been explained away.
That's
just
right.
As childlike behaviour.
True. So, but I think the social isolation was very, very dangerous. It's very dangerous when people aren't included. Like, she was so ostracised by other children, and that should have been picked up, I believe, by us and by her teachers. That is something that's really difficult for kids. And I think at the time we didn't take it seriously enough, even as parents, because she wasn't actively bullied. So we just kept saying, you know, well, you'll meet a friend one day. And when it didn't happen, it meant that she was just so lonely and set apart from the group. And that's terrible for humans.
Absolutely. There's some really heartbreaking moments in the book where she is quite literally shunned by other children. When did you recognize that something was terribly wrong and this wasn't just early childhood behavior?
Oh, not until later. I mean, like as Kierkegaard says, you have to live your life forward, but you can only understand it backwards. When she was growing up, we just kept thinking that, you know, that she would grow up. One day she would be able to function better and she'd be able to meet a friend. We didn't know that she would never be able to accomplish those skills. So, yeah, we didn't really recognize that she had a mental illness until when she was just turned 15 and was diagnosed with anorexia.
And there was a moment you mentioned in the book where she weighed just 37 kilos and pretty much starving herself and her body was shutting down.
That's right. Yeah, so but again, I don't think and even her doctor, who was absolutely fantastic through her teenage years, she says now that she didn't even realize at the time that anorexia is often a symptom of a deeper mental illness. And at the time we were treating her for the physical aspects, you know, and nursing her back to health, but we should have realized that, well, I hope people realize now that it's a mental illness, anorexia, and you know, with a high mortality rate, actually. So it really needs to, we should have approached it differently, probably, as a symptom of how troubled she was mentally.
And what was the most challenging aspect of writing the book?
Probably what you brought up at the beginning, just reconciling the fact that we were exposing Johnny's family to being re-traumatized, potentially, because they would rather just have us not talk about his death. So that's the most difficult, but I think the rest of it was really healing for Katie and Johnny and me.
And reading the book, there are so many what-if moments. Did you find there was a single regret or pang of guilt that stood out when you were writing this book?
Well, I wish we would have tried a different school for Anna when she was young. I would advise any parent who's kid is really struggling socially at school to try a different school. Because, I think that was a mistake we made, to not try a different one, just to keep telling her, you know, try harder, one day you'll be able to fit in. I think we should have tried to find a school where differences were celebrated and would have to try to find a school that would fit her rather than encouraging her to fit into the school. I really believe that was a mistake now.
And what are you hoping people will take away from the book? Is it about mental health, parenting, forgiveness?
Yeah, all of those things. I hope that it helps people see, as I said earlier, if their child's having problems. I also hope that it can show the community that there's a whole world of family and love and tragedy behind something like the clickbait headlines that came out as soon as Anna was mentioned. I hope that people realize how hard it is for families who are struggling with young adults who have mental illness and addiction problems, and that there's no place for them really, especially if they fall into the what they call the dual diagnosis category. It was very difficult to get Anna help because she was too addicted for the mental health system and too mentally ill for the addiction services. So that's something that really needs to be looked at, I believe.
And how's Anna doing today?
Well, she's doing really well at the prison. It's just such a sad thing that someone had to die for her to get the help that she needs, because she's contained, which she knew that she needed to be towards the end of her time on the outside. And, she's doing amazing. Because she doesn't have adult responsibilities like paying rent and finding food or filling her script, she's able to concentrate on social aspects like making friends and how you keep friends, and that's great. You know, she's not lonely, which she was for so much of her life. And she's helping some of the younger inmates who come in. Most of them are withdrawing from drugs, and she gives them comfort and makes them sandwiches, and she's doing really well.
That's good to hear. Thanks very much, Mary.